Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
The week before Christmas, we had some guys do a little bit of research for us to find out how people tend to spend their time. If you're interested in the flashing going on, it's Norton who's up there. Norton's set up his own photography business, which is brilliant. It's awesome. And I have no idea why he's taking pictures now. I don't know, but... Here's a question. How many hours do you think people spend laughing? On average, it's 6 minutes a day. It's 36 and a half hours a year, which is less than half the time most people spend on Facebook. So there's a good example of how social media means that when you tell a joke, you're the only one that hears it. If you want to be funny, you need someone to be funny with, or somebody to be funny to. How many of you remember Pete and Lucy Waterman? They were part of the congregation. Anyway, they're part of this brilliant pantomime, as we all are in one sense. This pantomime is called Dark Knight, and we went down to their rehearsal on when was it? Saturday. And there are four accountants who are in the cast, very serious, great responsibility, probably 38 hours a week. They're looking really stern. They're looking like some of you are now. A bit serious. And yet when they had just a few of us to interact with, something new and fresh came out of them around humour, lightness, funny, laughing. I mean, I was bouncing off them. I was in the crowd. I wasn't supposed to be on the stage. But we had a bit of a repartee going, almost dated the dame, whose name was David, I think. There is something about being with others that helps us to be funny. And the Bible says that a smiling face is a good medicine, doesn't it? So this is an average that we spend around 6 minutes a day laughing. I think we want to increase that. I think the joy of the Lord must become our strength. I think that we can save our facial wear and tear. And I know this is true because medically we use over 30 muscles to look like some of us look right now, but only four to smile. It's true. So if you're under 20 and you don't want to be using facial stuff and cosmetics when you're 40, smile a lot more than you do now. If you're over 40, there is still hope. All right? Because you are worth it. Just smile a little bit more and see what God will do. How many hours do you think a year we spend watching the television? Too many. Anybody? About 2 hours. We actually spend on average 4 hours a day. That's 1,460 hours watching television. It's all repeats. I'm going to say that again. We spend around 1,460 hours watching television. I'm going to say that. That's a lot of time, right? In fact, how much more time is that compared with 6 minutes of laughing? So you need to change what you watch. Has any of you seen the Vicar of Dibley Christmas special? When she had like 100 Christmas lunches on the same day. Well, that's... this is a good one for people. Young people, you'll know this. How many hours do you think we spend exercising? Come on, have a go. How many hours do you think?
4 hours a week.
4 hours a week from one of our young people's out in the front. 4 hours a week? How many hours do you think we spend exercising? It's 7 minutes a day. So some of you have probably already done that, walking from the car park, which I know is a bit further away than it used to be. In here and back again. That works out at 43 hours a year. The average person spends just 50 minutes a week on exercise, according to figures from Weight Watchers. Wow. That's a long way below the government recommendation of 30 minutes a day. funny, isn't it? I'll have to do this one. How long do you think we spend on the toilet? I'm just seeing if I'll get your attention here. What, all at once? No, surely not. Is it?
10 minutes a day.
There's actually two. There's a male one and a woman's one. Actually, they are. Because I forgot, you married one. How many of you want to have a guess? How long do men spend in the loo a day? It's actually 15... Who said 4 hours? It's actually 15 minutes a day. Women, it's 12. It says, although women are always known for it, men spend far longer on the loo. Bathroom firm survey found men are there for 1 hour, 45 minutes a week. Women spend just 1 hour, 25 minutes. And men spend 17 hours a year on the toilet. I don't know how they work that one out. I'm not sure I wanted to know that. How long do you think you spend shaving every day? You're so hairy. How long do you think you spend shaving? Norton, any idea, mate? 19. It's 115 hours a year. I never wrote this, so please don't come and have a go at me at the end of this. It says women take 4 minutes when they shave their legs. Then it says, I'm quoting. So if you defuzz twice a week, it's 7 hours a year. Men spend 5 minutes per shave 4 times a week, so that's 17 hours a year spent staying stubble free. How much time do you think you spend on the phone every day? Come on, you young people.
Oh, set. Hours.
Well, it could be either. Want to have a go? How long do you think? A day? A day. How many hours? 6 hours a day? You spend. Well, you might, do you? Because you do a lot of tweeting, don't you? I've seen you. 6 hours. Anybody else want to have a go? 4 hours. It's actually 2 hours. Larry, you're on it. We spend about 2 hours, which means we spend more time on the phone than we do with our friends. And again, I'm just quoting here. It says, these days we spend less time with our partners than we do with our phone. O2, whoever they are, found we spend 119 minutes a day making calls, browsing, internet, texting and listening, but just 97 minutes with our partners. It will do. I've gone quiet. So is it really a smartphone? Is my question. How long or what would the average be, do you think, that parents spend quality time with their children every day? Anybody want to have a go at that? Or even grandchildren? The average here is 19 minutes. So this, according to the Office for National Statistics, the average working parent spends 19 minutes a day looking after their kids, which is just 115 hours a year. Remember, we spend 724 hours a year on the phone. Remember also, we spend 115 hours a year shaving and 91 hours, if you're a man, on the loo. So to spend time with our children is 115. It's not brilliant. How long do you think we'd spend to get ready for a night out? Obviously, there is a difference here as well between the men and the women. 2 seconds? You haven't started dating yet, have you? No. Okay. That will change. Okay, we've had 2 seconds from the young man on the left who hasn't taken a girl out yet. But his day will come. I do know that. Anybody want to have a go? How long do you take to get ready to go out for a night out? Half an hour? 1 hour? This statistic says, and again I'm only quoting, that most women spend 43 hours a year just putting on their makeup. 2 days, isn't it? Men spend just 14 hours a year looking their best, which is a third of the time. But you can tell that here, right? Last one here. How much time do you think we spend eating a day?
Hour and a half.
Okay. So this is a UK statistic. How long do you think the average person spends eating? 20 minutes over here. Yeah, hour and a half over here. Anybody else? Help. Does chewing gum count? Only if you swallow it. Anybody at the back want to have a go at this? 15 minutes? It's actually 39 minutes, they reckon, a day. That's 237 hours a year. Each day we spend 7 minutes 20 seconds on breakfast. I mean, I don't know how they counted this. 7 minutes 20 seconds on breakfast, 12 minutes 49 seconds at lunch, and 19 minutes having dinner. Apparently. Part of the reason for kind of having a little bit of fun with this is because as a church, we just need to recognize in society, therefore also in our society, we can all spend, and we do all spend, the wrong time on the wrong things, or the right time on the wrong things, depending on how you look at it, or the wrong time on the right things. And the whole purpose of having this tithing of the year, the 40 days of prayer and fasting, is so that we can reevaluate some of these real statistics, some of this real time that we invest in. There is a reality, isn't there, that we all do really what we want to do. We do. We spend the time pretty much, certainly in the Western world, on things that we do want to do, pretty much. We're very blessed in that way. But God is challenging us, and that's why we've put this as first love, is that God wants to not just be at the center of our marriage or the center of our working environment or the center of our leisure environment or the center of our... He wants to be the center of our everything environment. And God wants to reposition himself in our lives as individuals and our lives as church as being the first love. He is the beginning and the end of our day. He is the one who we're living and loving for. He is the one whose example we're seeking to live out here on the earth. Does anybody agree with that? You know, it's a great longing, isn't it? It's a great desire. And how many of us know that sometimes we have to have a time when we just reevaluate how we spend our time, where we put the best part of us, is it into the best part of God or is it the best part of something else? So over these 40 days, we're going to have plenty of time to maybe change some of these statistics in our own lives, therefore in our lives as a congregation, therefore in the output or the outcomes that God can do through our lives as a result. The Bible speaks about prayer without ceasing. What does that mean? Well, there's a couple of meanings. Probably the easiest one for me to try kind of communicate is that God has so much more for you and for me to give, he doesn't want us to stop asking. It's not a challenge to see whether we're praying all the time. The challenge is one of how do we expect God to give us all the time. So God says, just pray, just keep asking, just keep believing, just keep pushing into me. Because there's far more that I want to give you than what I have given you already. So pray without ceasing. We get led by prayer by God, by the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches us that. We teach a lot about that in Discover. Is that how that we get led so that we're praying like Jesus prayed. Now we know we're not Jesus, but also we know Jesus lives in us if we're a Christian. We talk a lot about that in Discover too as well. So as a Christian, I can pray like Jesus prayed. I can get the answers like he got. I can live like he did. And God wants the same for us and the same for everybody over the face of the town. So the first love, the whole idea is that we want to spend the first 40 days from tomorrow seeking into the presence of God in a new way. Jesus talks about fasting a little bit in the Bible, but he says it in a very strange way. First time kind of I found it is in Matthew 6. They might be able to find it if they're really quick. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 to 18. Jesus said this. He said, when you fast, not if you fast. You're right. Well done, Andrea. It's not even in Dutch or anything. It's that Jesus said, when you fast, when you fast. So Jesus' lifestyle was, it was a fasted lifestyle. In other words, he put God first. He put God's will first. Now, we know that, but in terms of fasting, fasting on its own doesn't really do a lot. Fasting helps us to stop doing what can distract us from God and give us time to focus or refocus on God instead. So fasting wins back, if you like, the averages that we've been looking at. We stop watching so much television. We stop trying to be so smart on a smartphone. And instead of just sitting there looking like dummies, is that we give that time to God instead in a different way. Sometimes, particularly if you can't, I don't know, but most houses, mostly it's the mums that kind of sort out menus and buy food and all kinds of stuff. Okay, let's say Wednesdays, we don't eat on a Wednesday. If that's possible, if medically you can do that, if you haven't got kids that need feeding, I know because, you know, kids need feeding. But if it's possible, let's use Wednesday to use the preparation time where we've invested the same amount of time in making food. Let's spend some time praying, meeting with God, getting into the Bible a little bit. Maybe phoning a friend. Maybe praying for them. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's not about how do we get more time in our day. Fasting helps us to diminish the effect of those things that can distract us in the day. And instead, we give ourselves to pray. So fasting is part of a Christian's walk. It's not for super spits, super Christians. It's for anybody that wants to follow Jesus and be effective for him. It helps to cut off our lives the influence that the world wants to have. TV is one. Media is another one. Going out is fine as long as you're going out and it's a kingdom dynamic, not a worldly one. So it just helps us to measure. In Luke chapter 4, verse 1, which is also going to come up behind me, fasting releases faith and power. Luke chapter 4 is this story of where Jesus goes into the wilderness and he doesn't eat for 40 days. You remember that? And there's a whole reason why it's 40 days. I won't go into the details of that. Now, we talk about that in Discover 3 and 4 a little bit. But in Luke chapter 4, we find that Jesus fasted 40 days. He went into the wilderness, led by the Holy Spirit, it says in around verse 14. But he comes out of that experience full of the Holy Spirit. Which means in these next 40 days, as a Christian, as someone that has already received the Holy Spirit, we can expect a whole new release of God's life and power in us and through us. Just because we've made an agreement to walk through 40 days fasting a little bit and seeking God instead. So in your own kind of personal goal, I don't know how, if you do that, whether you do that every year or every 6 months or whatever, is that you can kind of have an expectation these next 40 days, whatever you perceive your spiritual life and dynamic is, God wants to increase it and enlarge it. He wants us to move from just following, doing the best we can, let's put it that way, into being full of the Holy Spirit, which is doing the best he can. And if you want to live like that, we don't just want to live the best we can. We want to live the best he can through us. And fasting helps to prepare us for that. Some other scriptures as well in Acts 9:9. There was a fasting and a prayer time before the church appointed people like Paul, people like Barnabas, people like these other guys. It was through a given time of fasting that God releases new direction and new fruitfulness in our personal lives. How many of you want to be much more fruitful, much more effective? Then this is a great opportunity to spend 40 days finding God, Letting God come upon our lives in a fresh way, re-evaluating where our first love really is. And God isn't going to come and say, well, you know, you should have done this before. What God is going to say is, brilliant. How is the day? Brilliant. Let's start again. Brilliant. Let's start with a whole new load of objectives, and I'm going to help you meet every one. This isn't going to be a time where God comes up and says, you know, you idiot, you should have done that. You know, you failed. You know, God's love is not like that. In fact, we can only call it first love because God first loved us. Remember, God is saying, keep praying because I've got more to give you. Keep seeking me because I've got more to show you. It's not because he wants to make us spiritually frustrated. In Matthew 17, verse 20 to 21, prayer and fasting helps you and me to get the victory over unbelief. Those things in our life, those things on our horizon, where we've lived with them, we've put up with them, we've kind of tolerated them long enough. And as we move into a time of corporate fasting, as well as personal, is this releases fresh victories. Where things have just seemed like we're pushing concrete uphill, suddenly God enables us to be at the top and look upon life in a whole new way. Victories over recurring sickness, health issues, depressions, oppressions, all these kinds of things and many, many more all come out of the victory that we can find through a fasted life. Hallelujah. I heard someone think. We all know in Esther chapter 4 that there was a fasted lifestyle that she went into, and that delivered a whole nation and a whole culture. This one has really grabbed my heart because I believe that as we here in the Worthing congregation, part of Kingdom Faith as a church, we're going to see the famine. I don't know if you were there on the 28th of December or maybe the 14th, and I was talking about part of what God wants to do this year now, we're in this year now, is he wants to lift the famine over Worthing. Come on, break the siege. Where there has been lack and poverty and oppression and homelessness and hopelessness, is that God is lifting the siege. Where there's never just been enough. Where people have just lived literally from hand to mouth. God is breaking that. Is anybody in the... Okay, Norton, mate, glad you're here. Is that God wants to lift the siege over Samaria like we saw the whole Israel nation saved from a death sentence. Why? Because someone put God first, fasted, did without, changed the averages, changed the flow, changed the culture of where they lived, and brought victory and relief, not just for them, but from them. Hallelujah. So fasting is awesome. So fasting requires faith. Fasting is not a religious activity. It's not a religious tradition. Fasting is a lifestyle of faith. God, I'm going to fast because you have said this, this, and this. God, I'm going to begin to seek you, spend a bit more time with you. Just give up a meal. I'm just going to spend that time in praying, in just calling out on God, in pushing in with God. There's a few ideas on what you can do here. So that we have an expectation of a changed life at the end of this 40 days. We look different. We sound different. We walk differently. We love differently. All because of God's faithfulness. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 58, Isaiah's quite smart because he uses a kind of a traditional dynamic of fasting about, you know, don't do this, don't do that. And then he goes on in about verse 8 or 9 and says, fasting, the lifestyle of fasting I really want to see my people live in is that they set people free. Now, it doesn't mean that one replaces the other one. What Isaiah is getting to, I think, is that as we fast from the averages of the world, as we step outside of those influences and all that time, doesn't mean that we don't go to the toilet, but maybe we should pray while we're in there. I do. It certainly means that we should be using less things that keep us isolated. Maybe, in our own world. We're not of the world, but we are in it. So maybe, this is why we're suggesting media is a key one. If you look at all the hours that we can spend corporately on TV, radio, all kinds of stuff. Man, just think what God could do if we just gave some of that time, all of that time, to God instead. How much more healthy would we all feel spiritually, physically? So there are different kinds of fasting, but the one that Isaiah is talking about is this fasted lifestyle releases you to be a releaser of others. This fasted lifestyle brings you into such a freedom that you bring freedom. How many of you know that only free people? Which is why Jesus says, well, if the Son has set you free, then you're free. Jesus is the champion of bringing freedom. So what we're saying is, let's spend these 40 days living this freedom, being in this freedom, letting this freedom express itself in us and through us for the glory of God. There are different kinds of fasting. Again, I don't know, you can choose which one. We haven't specifically said do this one or that one. Esther, it was no food or drink. Like, I've done some of those. If you're going to do a non-water one, just do that wisely after day three, because all kinds of things can happen in your mouth. Your taste buds go down the whatever. Everything goes a bit funny in your head, but just push through. All right? If God has said, well, just do a whole fast for a week, God will grace you for a week. But don't do 2 weeks. Do what he says. So maybe it's a whole fast. I have no idea. A normal fast would be no food. That's Luke 4. But if you take water on board, that's fine. For maybe some of you want to do that. Again, if you're able to do that, depending on your work environment, depending on your kind of day. But some of our schedules need to change, maybe, to help us live a fasted life. I have no idea. That's for you to kind of pray and ask God to show you. The partial fast, which is Daniel 12, is that maybe we have a removal of certain kinds of food. That's what Daniel did, wasn't it? And he ended up being faster, quicker, and smarter than everybody else. A bit like us. I'll say that one again. A bit like us. You and me, Larry. Come on then. So maybe that corporate fast, which is kind of what we're all in, is that, man, maybe we just need to watch less television. Let's spend a bit less time on Xbox or PlayStation or PS stuff and give that time to prayer instead. Maybe we just need to send a few less tweets out and make a few more followers. This is what I did then. Maybe to spend a little less time on Facebook and find a few more friends. I checked out some stuff on Google and friends, only 1% of your friends are your friends. One. Nothing is deleted from Facebook, ever. Nothing is private, ever. It's a myth. Ooh, I use Facebook, but you've got to be smart with what you put on it, because when you press delete, Mr. Facebook still keeps it in America. He's allowed to. We sign up for that when we press the yes button. And it's not private. Even personal messaging is not private. How do you think whoever it was, some Northern Korean guy, managed to stop a film happening? If that's who it was. Because they read everything. So how do we fast? Do everything quicker? Yes, maybe. Is we always want to fast with spiritual oversight. So in this setting, through a small group, that'll be just check that out with your small group leader or with Andrew or with both, just so that we can pray with you, encourage you. We're not going to ask you to do loads of physical stuff around Sundays or during the week, because we know you're fasting. We want to love you. We want you to be successful. Is that okay? Also, if you're just praying in your households, is, you know, just have a conversation with your husband, your wife, your kids. Actually, next week, we're not going to have a Sunday roast. We're going to have a bit less food and maybe spend a bit of time family prayer. That will transform your world. Maybe you just need to spend one Sunday praying for your family to have a family prayer. Because maybe it just doesn't happen. Maybe we just don't get the time. Well, I think God wants to release time to us to do things like this. Again, this is kind of reinforced in Scripture a few times, is that fasted people are really happy. I've lost count of the number of people who look really very unhappy, that they've gone to Burton's, especially to have a sackcloth made in their size, and they found the darkest ashes and pulled them on their head. And they come up and say, brother, I'm really happy, I'm just fasting. Really? Well, look like it then. Come on, cheer up. It's a good thing to do. If God has said do it with joy. Do it with a great attitude. Do it with an expectation of change. Don't just do it with, oh, I can't do this. No, I can do this as a result. God is not the God of I can't. He's the God of I can. He doesn't say I can't do all things through Christ. He says I can. So as a fasted people over these 40 days, man, I think our worship's going to take off because the joy is going to be reignited because our focus is going to be refreshed and restored. I think our just chatting relational stuff before service, after service, going to get a whole fresh new energy because we're going to be able to give each other time. Remember, friends are the people sat next to you. They're not on your Facebook account. Hallelujah. They're virtual friends. I think just as we get together to pray at 9 on a Sunday or during these encounter times or when we do our impacts, there's just going to be a fresh vibrancy because we're going to be engaging in a fresh way with the God that we know answers prayer. So I'm really excited about these 40 days. And the guys at the top are, everybody in the middle, we're just capturing you. Hallelujah. So expect your victory. Make a decision right now, right? For these next 40 days, I'm just going to review my lifestyle. Maybe some of these averages, yeah, I am part of those. But God wants to transform those for us so that he becomes our biggest attention getter. God wants to review our day so that he is the best part of our day. Do you understand that? But it's not a chore. It's a great thing. It's something to expect our victory. Again, it's 40 days, so it's not like, well, let's just make it an endless thing because that's just stupid. But please take one of these with you. There's some information in here as well. There's dates in here. The last thing I'm going to say about this before we kind of pray together in a moment is that we're all going to do this. It doesn't matter what level you do. I have no preconceived ideas or any values or standards in my own head of expectations. Like, no, let's just do what we can do with before God. But we're all involved with this. So corporately, we know as from today, when we rock up, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, everybody in that room is fasting. When we turn up next Sunday at 9 to pray, we're all fasting. It's all right. So encourage people. How's it going? What's God saying? Can I pray for you? When we meet up on Tuesday morning, we're all fasting. When we meet up on Thursday morning, we're all fasting. Does that make sense? So we're all in it together. Hallelujah. Why is that so important? And in my experience of fasting, one of the things which fasting must do is it must bring us at some point to the end of self. What I want, what I prefer, what I like. I'm used to this. At some point, and other things like that, but at some point it's going to bring us to the end of self. And it's brilliant to know that when we're at the end of self, we're at the beginning of God in a new way. It's a fact. But it's also brilliant to know that we're all coming through that same kind of journey together. And it might be for some of us, man, we're having a really great day. Yeah, God's really spoken to us. We've got loads of scriptures. We've met with Jesus in a new way. And we might have phoned up someone and they've just had a real duffer of a day. But we're still all in it together. So we can encourage them, pray for them. Does that make sense? Because who knows, tomorrow it might be the other way around. Because it can be like that. But we're a family, right? We're all in this together. It's our opportunity to meet with God, to give our first love to him in a practical way. So I'm excited. Is anybody else excited? Brilliant. Let's all stand up. I'm just going to pray. Is that right? Just close our eyes. Hey, Norton, are you all right? Is that enough, mate? Okay. Let's just close our eyes. Father, I just want to thank you for the grace upon this house that we can just fast. We can review our daily kind of lifestyle and our daily kind of preferences, if I can put it that way. But we can review kind of how we're doing right now and make those decisions to work with you to make them more how you want them to be. Holy Spirit, I want to thank you that you want to be the beginning, the middle, and the end of our lives. And I think, well, I know everybody in this room, we want that as well. But Lord, just give us the grace to make good changes, to make godly decisions that we then have the grace to live through and sustain throughout the rest of the year. But I want to thank you for every household, every family, every marriage is going to be strengthened through these 40 days. I thank you that every workplace, every marketplace, every street is going to be strengthened through these 40 days. Because I know that as we put you as our first love, others are going to see that first love in a brand new kind of way. I want to thank you that as we put you first, all things are going to be added to us. That's what you say. When we seek you first, all things are added. So I want to thank you for breakthroughs, victories. I thank you for healings, miracles. I thank you for fresh faith, new expectation of who you are and what you can do. I thank you for breakthrough over this year in this house, over these households represented. I thank you for many people giving their lives to Jesus over these 40 days and from these 40 days. And we praise your name. We thank you. Let's just give him some praise right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We exalt your name. So yeah, God is saying, give me everything over these 40 days and see what I will give you back.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.